There's two of them. Our topic is countering media bias. Malia Zimmerman, Herb Stupp, Kevin Price, Don Irvine, and we are going to go in reverse order because Malia's been on this panel before and she always has to go last because of the Z. So I'm going to let her go first, and then followed by Herb, Kevin, and Don, and you'll each get about 6 minutes. Thanks, Malia.
Good morning, everybody. Well, I run an organization called Hawaii Reporter. We started about 12 years ago. It's an online news site. We also have a TV and a radio show. And we did that in part to further investigative reporting and to curb the bias reporting in Hawaii. I wanted to tell you about a quick story that you might appreciate if you followed the George Zimmerman Trayvon Martin case, which in Hawaii we had our own version of that. We had Christopher Didi, who was a 29-year-old special agent who was in Hawaii in November 2011 to protect Hillary Clinton and some of the other State Department officials and also President Barack Obama when they were there for the APEC conference, which is the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Conference. And at 4 a.m., after Christopher Didi had been drinking, we don't know how much, he was carrying his firearm and which he was allowed to do as a special agent in Hawaii, went into a McDonald's at 4 a.m., got into a fight with a local resident there who was himself drinking and on cocaine and marijuana and had a criminal record, and went. They started fighting, and Christopher Didi said he was protecting some of the people, the patrons in McDonald's, from harassment from Colin Eldert's, and Christopher Didi ended up, they got in a fight and shot him. And so we covered that story, but there was a lot of bias against Christopher Didi. First of all, he wasn't from Hawaii, and even though he was a law enforcement officer, he had been drinking, and so there was a lot of criticism of that, of him for that. He did not take a blood alcohol test, and so, there was criticism as well. But on the other hand, Colin Eldert's had quite a history in Hawaii of, he had his own criminal record, had been on drugs and drinking as well, and had a history of being kind of a punk. And so what happened was the way the media covered, it was a huge story in Hawaii. I mean, they even broadcast the opening statements live in the middle of the day. They broadcast live, all the news stations also broadcast live via your cell phone. You could watch it or your iPad or your computer to see what was going on in the courtroom. And the people on behalf of Colin Eldert's brought in their own protesters, a group called World Can't Wait, which was also involved in the Trayvon Martin case, from what I understand, in terms of protesting against George Zimmerman and also protesting against Special Agent Didi. So some of the things that we did in terms of trying to counter some of the media bias was bring up the issues of how the case was similar, but also offering other media outlets and partnering with some of the stations to bring different viewpoints. And that's what I guess I could suggest for you. If you don't have your own news media outlet, what some of the people did for Christopher Didi, because they didn't feel like he was getting a fair shake as a special agent who was charged with second-degree murder within 10 days, even though there were 100 witnesses all with different stories, because as you can imagine, at 4 a.m. in McDonald's in Waikiki in our tourism hub, quite a few people had been drinking and had different stories. So Christopher Didi's his side of the his family and his friends started their own website to give information on him and his background and so on. They had statements from friends and things like that, and it was hard for his friends and family to be here for the trial. It ended up, this trial went on for several weeks, and in the end, it was a hung jury, 8-4. 8 found him to be innocent. And so the case was dismissed, and now the prosecutor wants to bring the case back and retry him next June. And so we'll see what happens, but it was a second-degree murder case. The interesting thing about it was the coverage and how to counter it. And I know people here today will offer some suggestions on that, but there's everything for you from social media, if you want to get out your side, to starting your own website, to getting on the radio, doing live calls. We were on the radio quite a bit talking about this case and some of the bias that was involved. And just simply even just pointing that out, whether it's through calling a news station, being in contact with reporters, But not in an angry way, I'd say, just in a respectful way. A lot of times, reporters just need exposure. They might, for example, myself, I was not raised in a family that ever touched a firearm. I wasn't taught that. In Hawaii, we have very strict laws about gun ownership, and in terms of we have the right to carry if a police chief allows you to, but they never do. And their average citizen isn't allowed to carry a firearm. There's only one shooting range in the whole island for 1 million people where we live in Honolulu. And if you want to get your own firearm, you have to go to the police department 3 times to register and get permits for a handgun. And it's very strict that you can't download the forms beforehand. And sometimes people wait in line for 9 hours at a time, just each time. And they spend the night there just to get into the police station. That's how many people want to register firearms, but are basically being prohibited through this process through the police department. But what it takes is people like you who give exposure to people who don't have this kind of exposure. And what I mean in Hawaii is our Hawaii Rifle Association, I'm on that board, and we actually take reporters out and teach them how to shoot and get them out there. The FBI does a similar program where they take reporters like us and put us in a virtual reality kind of test. And we have to decide how we're going to react in a situation that involves firearms and shooting and hostage situations and things like that. So those are all good things for reporters to be exposed to. I know that everybody else will have great ideas about some tricks that you can use, but I would just suggest that if you're really interested in countering media bias and you have things to offer in terms of ideas and stories and so on, get to know your reporters in your community. And do that you don't just have to call them about a firearm story, you could call them about other stories as well and try to get a good relationship. So when you really do need them for some story that is important to you, that you have that relationship built up with them. That's it. I have only 24 seconds left, so.
Perfect. Thank you. I was going to go in reverse order, so that's okay. So we're going to bring up Herb Stupp now. Herb?
Thank you. I've been coming to these for many years and realized I never confessed or opened up. I'm probably the only person in the room who's been fired by Michael Bloomberg. Oh. But I wish I could say it was for the right reason. Actually, I was commissioner for 8 years under Mayor Giuliani, and new mayors bring in 99% new commissioners. So there was no real animus. He probably didn't even know my views on guns. And the only person who survived that was a commissioner married to Senator Chuck Schumer, who's part of the permanent government. Well, as I said, I've been a longtime director. My street cred, as it were, on media bias comes from working 40 years or more in the conservative movement. I met Alan Gottlieb in 1970 in James Buckley's campaign. And then, of course, as a commissioner in New York City working for a Republican mayor, you can imagine that I was a target for the media bias there. But I also worked in media. I was an editorial director. If you remember TV stations doing editorials 25, 30 years ago, I did that for one of the New York City stations. So I saw bias up front from among some of my colleagues. There's different kinds of bias, and some of our previous speakers have touched on it. John Fund talked about how the contrast between how Senator Cruz and his speech on the Senate floor was covered versus Wendy Davis is a heroine, and she's a Joan of Arc. And you'll see, you Texans, you'll see that in your coverage, how she's going to be lionized. John Lott talked about a different kind of bias, the media not understanding some of these studies, measuring gun ownership by suicides. We have to focus on those kinds of reporters who are lazy or maybe just cocktail party anti-gunners, or in some cases, don't have great comprehension skills, and we've got to work on some of those. Bias is obvious, just to show you what we're up against. You all get Gun Mag from Buffalo, Peggy and Joe work on. Well, in the September issue, I highly recommend it to you, Gun Control Playbook revealed Guiding Washington Initiative campaign. And big PR firm telling him how to hit the media and the politicians to get these gun control initiatives through. And they actually say we need an emotionally driven conversation, you know, bringing up victims and all that. So we've got to fight that. In New York, often local media doesn't even use a pro-gun spokesman. And as I said, we need to work on those lazier and just fashionable journalists. I think, as Malia alluded to, we need to appeal to a sense of fairness. And if you've been following a reporter and maybe liked one story they did, maybe a story relating to a charity or something, you can say, I really liked your coverage on X, but on this gun issue, you really left a lot out or you were biased against it. So appeal to that. I don't know what you do with Piers Morgan, but... I really like your accent. Or I always gotten along well with guys named Piers. But but others, you know, figure out something that you liked in their coverage in the past, but now couldn't they be fair? Couldn't they include your viewpoint? Have they considered that gun owners have thwarted, on average, 2 million plus crimes a year by brandishing a gun? As Malia said, invite media to events, to shooting events, so that they might be able to experience what it's all about. And as another panel discussed, using the social media to communicate with reporters. And even though Charles Barkley says Twitter is for losers, it's a great way to communicate with folks. It appeals to reporters' vanity. They all have Twitter handles, so you can get right to them about a story. If, often at the end of a report, it'll say, hashtag, Malia Zimmerman at Hawaii Reporter, or whatever it is. If needed, you have to go higher. You have to complain to an editor. You have to complain to a news director. I've gotten corrections out of the New York Times. Even when Alan and I were in that campaign and we were students at age 20, I got a correction from the New York Times. Just want to, now you applauded my firing, being fired by Bloomberg. Here's your hissing moment, the New York Times. But even the New York Times here, this is about a 6 by 8 inch column, has corrections. Now, you know, they misspelled somebody's name, they got a title wrong, that sort of thing. They're certainly still very, very biased on the gun issue and many other issues, but they will, if you have an error of fact, they will try to correct that. I would encourage you to go to your newspapers and offer a correction type column if they don't have it. And a lot of TV stations have viewer feedback, that sort of thing that they'll publish. Times also has an ombudsman. You can try that, even make that as a recommendation to a local media, TV station, or newspaper. Give a story to a competitor. You know, Channel 7 won't cover us on this, but this is a really good story. You guys should come out and see this, or talk to this guy who thwarted a crime in a home invasion without the police ever being invited. Interest a local journalism school in bias. Try to speak with an editor, news director. I've done this in the last couple of weeks. If you're in a big city market, talk to the Media Research Council. You're all familiar with them. MRC.org. Brent Bozell does great work, mostly national media and big city media, but still great work. Get some bloggers out there interested. More power than has ever been had by average citizens. You know that whole George Bush so-called scandal about his National Guard service in 2000. Bloggers got the story correct, and Dan Rather ultimately got fired because of that. And then, Free Republic. And get a local columnist interested as well. So a local columnist who's on your side or just believes in fairness might be persuaded to write a column critical about another medium or a competitor that's not covering you in town. So to wrap up, sugar versus vinegar. You know, don't come out blasting them right away. I really liked your coverage on X, but have you considered this other story relating to guns? Complain correct when necessary. And just a reminder, that list I just went through, you have more options than you ever have had to correct and at least expose media bias. Thanks. Good luck.
Thank you, Herb. And now I'm going to bring up Kevin Price from KTEK, radio. I'm starting to get punchy. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you. Now, I don't know if I've do anything in 6 minutes nowadays. This is like a nightmare, but I'm going to do my best, and I'm going to take a decidedly different approach than what you normally hear on media bias. How many of you have attended an event that you've gone to that had media bias as part of the discussion? In conservative circles, raise your hand. Come on, be honest. You've done it, because I've done dozens of these over the past 20 years. And so, and most of my presentations that I've done over the past 20 years were very similar to what you'll probably hear from today's group. And there's nothing wrong with what the others are going to say, but I kind of made a paradigm shift in the way I look at the media. As someone who's been involved in the media for 20 years, and over almost 30 years on both sides, as someone trying to get stories in the PR side, and someone who's worked as a reporter, and someone who's worked as a writer. And now I recognize the media is the enemy. The media is the enemy. And so in one of his last interviews before he passed away, Andrew Breitbart was on my program. You know, and I asked him, what did it feel like to become an activist, you know, in the fight for truth in media? And he goes, Kevin, I've always felt like a journalist. I've never felt like an activist. The bizarre media culture we live in today makes me look like an activist. I'm just a journalist trying to tell the truth. The media is the enemy. I want you to understand that. And so in fact, this is a great factoid. I just read this in an article. The U.S. is third in murders throughout the world. Number three, top three. You hear that all the time. The United States is top three in murders, top three in murders. Take out Chicago, Detroit, Washington, D.C., and New Orleans. We're in the bottom four. But the media won't tell you that. Now, what do those bottom four have in common? The toughest gun laws in the United States. That's what the top four murder capitals in the city is. They have the toughest gun laws in the United States. My brother is he's liberal, I have to admit. But I'm actually the weird one in my family. I'm the only one who's not liberal. And so we've always chosen not to talk politics, but somehow we slipped into one of those conversations that are basically territory we choose not to go into. And he talked about how we needed more gun laws. Because why did he say that? It's a media narrative. And he used that case in Connecticut, Sandy Hook, which that guy broke 74 gun laws killing those kids. And I said, so, brother of mine, you telling me 5 or 6 more gun laws would have prevented that guy from killing those kids? I mean, where is the logic in this? There's no logic. It is a propaganda narrative driven by the media. And the media needs to be started to be treated as the hostile part of our society that it has become. You know, I used to talk about we need to be kind of persuasive. I agree. Find those areas of agreement. Maybe you become tough cop, nice cop. You know, maybe you work with different people and some of you beat up on them while others of you take a nicer approach. I don't know. But the pure nice approach doesn't work. I do know that much. And what's happening is what's interesting. I really appreciated the value of the last presentation. Both presentations, great. The value of the last presentation is there are so many factors that are driving this media bias. And the one that all of them have in common is academia. Academia hates America. There was a book written in the late 1970s. Harvard hates America. It's not just Harvard, because everyone wants to pretend they're a Harvard. All of these universities hate America. It's very rare. There's, you know, for every Hillsdale College, I'll give you 1,000 that are the exact opposite in its worldview and its philosophy and its agenda. So where do these journalists come from? Well, they come out of academia. They're not taught objectivity. They don't know what truth is. In fact, they believe there is no absolute truth. The vast majority of them, they all believe with a subjective worldview that truth is relative. And so it's laughable. The three biggest institutions in America, you see, voting is the thing that follows the culture itself. Voting follows the culture. Our culture, our academia, our media is driven entirely by the left and has been now for around 50 years. And so how will voting be? Voting will be liberal. And so unless we take on those major institutions, culture, education, media, in a totally offense sort of way, we're going to continue to talk defense, and we're going to continue to lose the war of ideas. We've got to stop taking defense. Start taking offense. We need to pull some chapters out of the left's book. The left took socialism way more seriously than we took freedom. The left took the idea of government control way more seriously than we did defending our freedom. In 1960, John F. Kennedy, when he ran for president of the United States, complained about the Republican media. All the time. Republican media this, Republican media that. Well, by 1970, that was no longer a problem. The left decided that their agenda wasn't going to win unless they owned media. And throughout the 1960s, they swallowed media left and right, making sure they placed their ideologies, their worldviews throughout those institutions. Meanwhile, universities had been helping for about 20 years before that by creating ideologue liberals in academia. People graduating with degrees in journalism, that's really a degree in liberalism. It really is. I know I took courses in that area and said, what? Oh, dang, I ran out of time. I told you I couldn't finish this. We need to focus. So here's a few points. Here's some takeaways. We need to buy major media. The Koch brothers almost bought the LA Times. We need to start writing our rich friends and say, go ahead and buy the major media. I wouldn't buy the LA Times. There's good reasons not to invest in that particular paper. But we need to buy major media. Back in the 1980s, I was involved in a project called Conscious Ownership. We're always interested in making money. Why don't we make money in media and change the culture in the process? What a novel idea. We need to have truth squads like the left has. Follow specific journalists and hold them accountable. I say tweet about them like the gentleman before me. Expose them for the liars that they are. Do it all the time. I tell you, they don't do nice. All that does is feed their egos. I mean, it's incredible when you're dealing with these people. We need to do to liberal programs like the left did to Glenn Beck. We take the spray approach. We hate the media. We hate the media. Guess what? I hate the media too. What the left did is they targeted on one conservative show, Glenn Beck. They targeted on all of the sponsors of that program. And as a result, Fox had no choice but to have low-level sponsors because all the big sponsors pulled out. We need to stop spraying our hate and focus on individual media programs. Choose one show. Go after that show. Go after that show's sponsors and say, we're not buying your product until this guy's off the air. Choose whichever you want. Now I'm really in trouble. It's getting louder. Okay. I love talking to you all, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, Kevin. And now we'll bring up Don from Accuracy in Media. Don.
Thanks a lot. I'll try to avoid that sound.
I tried to pick the most obnoxious one.
Anyway, it's great to be here. We've had a great weekend. We're almost ready to wrap everything up. And but, you know, is there liberal media bias? I'm just looking at today's New York Times, and it just happens to have an article about gun violence and children. And I'm just going to read you just one little quick section in here, just to give you an idea of what's going on here. Talking about the most gut-wrenching of gun deaths, children shot accidentally, usually by other children, are collateral casualties of the accessibility of guns in America. And that's at the beginning of the article. This is a very long article. It continues to go on with little prods throughout that article about what's going on with guns in America. Once again, that's a lack of education on the part of the New York Times and reporters. They're going to make a case for why the gun ownership is bad. We have to be back here, you know, we have to fight for this as much as we can. Now, we've heard a lot of things, social media. I think one of the, you know, when you're talking about countering media bias, I think Emily Miller was probably one thing that she really hit it on the head when she talked about facts. We have to have facts. This is a huge advantage that conservatives, that gun owners have against the liberals, is that we have the facts. We arm ourselves with the facts. We win on facts. The liberals lose on emotion. Okay? How many times have you watched a television program and you watch the liberals and the conservatives argue, and the conservatives can have a list of 2, 3, 4, 5 facts, And usually the liberals are just, their jaws just drop because they really don't know how to answer. And they come, so they come back with some kind of hyperbole. They just whatever else they can. They throw anything else they can in order to deflect the conservative. You can do this. This is very easy to do. As Malia knows, I mean, both of us, we really love social media. And I really think this is important. We talked a lot about that this morning. Beverly Zaslow mentioned it. You know, she asked how many of you have a smartphone. That smartphone is your tool. It is your weapon. You know, one of the things that I thought about last night, and as an experiment, I'd like to see this group try this. Okay, if you've got a smartphone, you're probably at least on Facebook, maybe not always on Twitter, but I want you to start today, if you haven't used Instagram. So if you know what Instagram is, it's just another social media site. Facebook bought it last year, paid $1 billion for it. It is the photo sharing site. So what I want you to do today, and I want you to get your friends to do today, is to take a picture with this phrase, okay, guns save lives. Now you can hold up this bumper sticker. You can do whatever you want. Put it on a post-it note. Do whatever you want. Take a picture of yourself. Take a picture of your friends. Do that. Now, when you do this, make it a hashtag. Use that pound symbol, okay, right beforehand. What will happen that way is that on Instagram, that will become filtered through that hashtag, through that phrase. I want you to go out there and not just get your friends, but if you know legislators, if you know anybody important at all, go get them to do that. I mean, I plan to call Steve Stockman's office. I got a friend in his office in D.C. I'm going to call him on, you know, when I get back to town and say, can you get the congressman to just put this on a piece of paper, or do whatever he wants? We know what a big gun rights, you know, pro-freedom guy he is, and have him do that and do that. Heritage Foundation did this with Defund Obamacare. Unbelievable. You know, they got Senator Cruz, they got Holt, and it just flooded the internet. We can do this. This is how you help win the argument, how you counter this. You know, and just other points about this too is that, you know, I had a Facebook page, which was a group called Media Bias Against Guns. Last night we have now converted that to a Facebook page so you can go like it. So if you've got your smartphone, look it up, go like it right now. You know, and join us. And that is for you. I'm not setting this page up for me. I'm setting it up for you so that we can have a conversation about what's going on in America about this issue. All right? But if you ever do get interviewed, if you did get on the air, do things, you know, remember, be proactive, become your local expert, be consistent, don't go off. You know, if you're asked a question by the media, try to stay on topic. Don't start offering out extra information, because they're looking for that. They're looking for that little avenue they can use to say, turn that whole thing around, and instead of a positive interview, it just goes south. So don't do that. And I'm going to try to keep Peggy on time. I'm actually going to end now. I just want you to know, this is important. This is a fight that we all have. This is how we protect our rights and our freedom, and God bless America.
Thank you, Don. You were under time, so I appreciate it. I'm going to thank this panel again and dismiss them. They'll be back.